Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Summertime and the living is easy for some people.
Yeah, for some people.
Because, you know, we're on the verge of this NBA draft, which has set the stage for all of these other moves in the NBA, right?
That's right. All
everybody
these other moves.
Want to know where LeBron going.
Like LeVar Ball say, L.A. Bron.
L.A. Bron.
He enrolled his son in schools in L.A. now.
Oh, he has. Okay, so then.
In high school, he going to high school in L.A., a parochial school in L.A.
Oh, I thought he was going to homeschool, the youngest one.
Okay, homeschool, youngest one, but then the high schooler going to school in L.A.
Okay.
So he going to be in Cleveland playing still, but then – Cleveland still hold $150 million, don't they?
They got the max contract on him.
So if they if he the free agent, he can just leave, he can't go no higher than that.
Right. Well,
he going to get $50 million less then.
Well, we know it's not about money.
It's not
about money. First of all.
He
rich. Okay.
And then wherever it's going to be a market for him to make up that $50
million. Yeah, absolutely.
Because he can do joint ventures with businesses.
Yeah.
To show up and come in, business partners.
Yeah, because it's not just the NBA that's looking at this move. It's the Madison Avenue, the advertisers of the world. They looking too.
Yep, they looking
to find out where he's gonna land, because whatever it is, they want to get him plugged in to do advertising for that segment of the market that he's in. So
for the people that don't know, like I know me and Coach Walker usually goes to Cleveland every year. We going this year for our Nike clinic because his little cousin signed with the Browns.
Really?
So we going to check out some preseason games and be down there for the Nike clinic.
Wow, I didn't know that.
We went Cleveland with LeBron. Then we went to Cleveland Nike clinic post LeBron when he left.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went when he came back. And do you really know the difference? It was like when he was there, when he first got there, they was building the downtown up, right?
Right. Yep.
The downtown used to look like Bone Thugs and Harmony used to ride through it. It's the first of the month. Like it's
tore
up trash
there.
Everywhere. So if you live there, you already know what I'm talking
about. I know about it, man.
It was rough.
Yeah.
It was a tore up
downtown. Was not nice.
Not nice.
Okay.
So LeBron comes in. Everybody, these new clubs, these eateries, all this new stuff comes.
Yeah. Condos, apartment complexes, venues,
yep.
Everything, man.
Everybody.
To revitalize.
New stadiums for people, all this. One person, right.
Right? That's right.
Then he leaves. So we go hang out when he leaves. And I'm in this one building. We're hanging out at night. It's late at night. I'm like, what's wrong? Why did everywhere I go, it look like the buildings are half finished?
Okay.
Like, that's the LeBron effect. I'm like, what you mean, LeBron effect? I was talking to one of the owners. He said, well, LeBron left. He said he came. And then when he left that year with the decision, we were building our clubs up as if he was staying.
Mm-hmm.
So then when he left the downtown, he said during basketball season, we expect to get deep in the playoffs, and everybody hangs out downtown Cleveland. They loved it.
Yep.
When LeBron came, it was nice. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So when he wasn't there, man, they say we took a hit. And I was down there one of the years when they just had Kyrie Irving. I seen him that night hanging out too, but it was like
it wasn't the same, man.
It wasn't no paparazzi. He wasn't. It was like, oh, that's Kyrie. That goes in this Aston Martin. That's Kyrie Irving. Like,
he didn't bring that crowd, man.
And then when we came back. When LeBron came back that first year, it was ridiculous.
The growth.
It was crazy downtown.
The investments. Yeah.
It was crazy.
It's hard to fathom one individual having that kind of impact on a city and its economy.
Yep.
But he has.
Yes.
Okay.
And
wherever he goes, he's going to have that impact.
And looking at him as a person, and we're getting to our next person, right, because we're talking about business, LeBron has ventures with Nike, right? He has ventures with restaurants. He owns restaurants. He has the Undisputed Chase Bank channel, YouTube channel, where his old buddy and one of his mentors that he played with in high school is running, and he interviews athletes. But then when you look at that aspect of him, you think about, like, wow, the $50 million doesn't even matter to him, because it's like, what joint ventures I can do in a bigger market now?
That's right.
If I can make Cleveland and the man that own Quicken Loans blow up to the point where he can give $300 million to the downtown Detroit.
Quicken Loans Arena.
LeBron,
right,
like, I need to serve in that capacity like Dan Gilbert while I'm still playing.
In Detroit, yeah.
Because Dan Gilbert gave $300 million to downtown Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
Then he gave $30 million to Tom Izzo. So I'm like, hold up, that's $330 million that he gave
out.
He's
a billionaire.
He's a billionaire. But how did he get there?
Okay.
LeBron sweepstakes at his loan company. But LeBron's in favor of a big portion of it. So LeBron, like, I got to step away so I can be who I need to be.
Well, he will stay in Cleveland provided that they put the people on the floor. Okay.
It's hard to get somebody to come to the play, though. It's nice downtown, but that's it.
Well, LeBron is there. Okay, LeBron is there. And they have the option of, making it happen. All right, because everybody know right now the other big name, marquee name, is Kawhi Leonard.
He want to play with LeBron.
He wants to play with LeBron. Okay, so
Scottie Pippen.
He may play in L.A. or they may play in Cleveland. Okay, and then you heard what Boston said about Kyrie, right?
Yep.
He's not signing Kyrie to this next year, man.
So Kyrie might say, "Hey, LeBron, what's up, man? Let's make amends."
You say, "Man, because they were saying if he came to Boston, it would be cool if he came to Boston." But that was before Boston decided that maybe we don't really want to sign Kyrie for another year because we got the Rozier kid,
and we got Brown,
yeah,
and we got Tatum,
yeah. So he is dispensable now.
Yes, he is. He's not worth all that money no more.
Over the next.
And then it's a coach's team now. It's not a player's team.
No, it is a coach's team. What's the name, Brad?
Danny Ainge loving that. Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens. He's that guy.
Okay? Danny Ainge loving it.
He's pulling the strings. But it's going to be very, very interesting in the NBA over the next 2 weeks because the draft starts now. Then by the end of the month, all free agents got to decide whether they're going to, if they're going to opt out of their contracts
July.
Or they're going to stay. So it is going to be very interesting in the NBA, man. It's fun. I like watching this.
Yep.
How these chess pieces are going to move.
Man, it goes on and on.
GMs, what kind of deals they going to make starting tonight.
Starting tonight. Right. The draft night. Somebody going to get traded. Somebody
right
is going to get traded.
The draft going to determine a lot what happens tomorrow.
Yeah. And then, look, among draft eve, I think, what's this? Today's the 20th.
21st.
Okay,
21st.
2 days ago, Puma announced that Jay-Z is head of basketball operations.
Puma.
For the sneaker. Now, the last time Puma been relevant was with Vince Carter wearing Puma.
Right.
In 98 with Toronto Raptors.
That's been a long time ago, man.
All right. So that's almost 20 years ago. So now, look at this now. You got Rihanna. You got Jay-Z. Then you got Meek Mills in the rap industry, hip-hop. And now you got Jay-Z back in basketball.
Okay.
And I remember when he was in basketball when he had the S. Dot Carters and your boy Jamal Crawford was wearing those.
Really?
Yep. Okay. Jamal Crawford wearing the S. Dot Carters. And I'm reading Jay-Z's book, Empire State of Mind, right now. And he used the Rucker Tournament to advertise those shoes, to advertise his whole brand.
No joke.
So
he good,
he's
man.
Ready to put that out. I know he is.
It's gonna be interesting.
And I'm reading this article. It says, in advance of this week's NBA draft, Puma has already signed projected first-round picks DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley III, and Zaire Smith to multi-year footwear and apparel endorsement deals. The trio represents the first NBA endorsement deals for the brand in 20 years.
That's great, man.
So the last person they signed was Vince Carter. So
these kids are millionaires even before the draft.
That's right. So then they got the mentor that mentored LeBron.
Okay.
Jay-Z mentor LeBron, too.
Right.
So he's still with him. He's still connected with him. So when you look at that, and LeBron signed with Nike before he got hooked up with Jay-Z.
Right.
So LeBron got $90 million. So Jay-Z, LeBron is somebody in the capacity that's like, wow, what can we do?
Could become a bidding war. Puma's, do you really want LeBron if he makes a move to a different market? And how long is this contract with Nike? I know
somebody
interesting.
Somebody that you would love to hear about because it's from your era, and I got to see bits and pieces of it, was your boy Walt Clyde Frazier.
Oh,
He got a lifetime contract with Puma.
Really? Oh,
so
what? Clyde the Glide.
The check about to get bigger again for him.
Yeah.
Clyde Frazier about to get, a little bit more. And I'm like, hold up. So I'm going to read this part. It says, before unveiling its new basketball sneaker this week, Puma signed its first signature athlete, Walt Clyde Frazier, to a lifetime contract earlier in the elaborate ceremony in New York. The brand's new silhouette is expected to be modernized, up-to-date, Frazier's iconic original Clyde sneaker from 1973, with which knit construction and today's technology.
That's 45 years ago, man. Oh man, this sports marketing
is good.
It's blowing up, man.
But you know what?
It's blowing up.
I want to take them, you know, back to the era of Michael Jordan when he first came in. I got on Nike running shoes right now. Nike was solely a running shoe.
Right. That's how it started.
So when they got in with this basketball, they like, nobody don't want to wear them shoes. They black with that red logo on there. That look good.
That's bunk, man.
That's whack.
Right.
But then when the player came and was cradling and fading away and scoring 37 points.
I want to be like Magic. Man, how you going to be there? Yeah. You got to have the shoes on.
The gold chain on, wearing the jogging pants, jumping with the flight, you know? All that.
It's marketing.
That's marketing. So it's like, so Jay-Z going on a limb signing these young guys, which is business. Do anybody have that aura of the Black Jesus? That's what they call Michael, right?
Right.
The Black Jesus.
That's what he is.
So who has the aura of him coming in? Because Mike is still outselling Under Armour.
Oh.
He's still outselling Kobe. He's still outselling LeBron's brand. And he hasn't touched the basketball price since 2003. So when you look at that, that's some crazy marketing. But at the same time, the way the brother played the game and the way they styled the shoe.
Right.
They keep the shoe consistent with turning edge performance and the colorways. And the price is ridiculous. I haven't bought a pair in a while. I got a pair at home in the box that I don't even wear. I just like, I'm just going to leave them here.
Don't even wear them, man.
And just, hey, one day they might be worth it. Sit on them.
It's an investment.
It's an investment now.
Right.
So Michael has done that for the shoe genre that just, he did it. It's,
well, yeah, you know, there was we've always had a little liking to sneakers. You know, of course, all of us grew up with the Chuck Taylor All-Star.
Right.
That was the first brand that
now
guys
it's a casual
had.
Shoe.
Right.
Yeah, but it's fresh, though.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
still fresh. I will rock them.
Okay. But Nike took this thing to a whole nother level with this love affair with tennis shoes.
Made it a lifestyle.
Made it a
suits,
lifestyle.
Do it anything.
Absolutely. And again, it comes back to the brilliant minds of marketing. And it is still relevant today. And others are starting to get on board, like your Puma.
Yeah.
Okay. You can have the best shoe, but who is wearing that shoe determines whether or not the public will buy it.
Like, look at this. Like, look at the Steph Curry shoe.
Yeah.
I don't see that many grown men wearing Steph Curry. They like,
no.
I can't wear those. They look like hospital shoes. But the
right.
kids, the little kids that like Steph Curry,
okay.
they got them on. They got the rainbow colors. They wearing them because they think they Curry.
That's right.
Curry shoe fit them different market. Little kids, they love
absolutely.
Them. They buy them. But to me, they like the hospital shoes.
Nope.
I can't wear them. Here's the big test. Like, for the generation that I grew up with, and for the kids now, the Michael Jordan shoe, you wear with outfit.
Yes.
You can't wear LeBron's with outfit. You can't wear KD's. The generation that's out now, they wearing Jordans with their $200
with their
jeans, with their dress shirt, to the prom.
They
they think that's like a Stacey Adams or something
suit.
Like this.
Right.
That's
grew up with the Stacey's. Okay, Bostonians. Yeah.
They're not going to play in the mics. They playing them. They real.
Oh, no.
Got to be real. They're going to buy two pair of the one they're going to play in. So Mike has carved out a niche that he can die with, and it's going to carry him forever.
Forever, man.
I think you owe a lot of Spike Lee, too, though. Spike Lee did lay it out, that marketing plan for him.
Okay.
Remember Mars Blackman with the Spike Lee?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, yeah, that's still iconic.
Yep, he laid it out. So just getting into that, and then the crazy thing about it, I've been reading Jay-Z's book, Empire State of Mind, and just going through it and just checking things out. And it's just the way he just do everything. I got one thing highlighted in here. It says, if he was going to mention a clothing brand in a song, why give free advertising to someone else when you could boost your own sales with a Rockaware shout out? So now you already know how Jay-Z going to be.
Okay.
So Puma going to be all over.
Yeah.
The marketing for him.
Yeah.
When it comes to his brand, when it comes to the basketball, the Black Panther going to be everywhere.
The Black Panther.
Wow.
How you like that tie-in? How you like that tie-in?
I just did that. Jay-Z, that's going to cost you probably
how you like that tie-in, man?
Hey,
that's worth a couple million, though.
That's worth a couple million. I just did it.
Yeah, we're going to have this Wakanda edition of the Black Panther shoe.
The Black Panther shoe for real, the Puma.
Okay, I see it coming. Oh, it's coming, dog.
Do you see
it? It's going to be off the chain, too.
Because, I mean, I'm younger than you, but I rock me some Pumas. I rock the low tops ones with the suede.
Okay.
You know, and when I said the Black Panther, that's what I know.
Right.
You know?
Well, I'm pretty sure they are deep in this product development, and they're going to come up with some shoes that fit that Black Panther wave, that if wave. You will.
They better ride that wave.
And they're going to take advantage of it. Trust me. With Jay-Z at the helm of basketball operations, you're going to say, man, these are the shoe lines that we need to start developing.
That's it. And that couldn't be no better. Because I know they're going to have a Black Panther 2. They're going to do some things. They're already working on it and works on that. So then he's going to be there on the soundtrack. I already know it's all going to tie in.
The hip-hop generation itself, man, is going to gravitate to this thing.
And the amazing thing about when you say the hip-hop generation, it's a generation nobody wanted to have because
nobody.
It was called a throwaway generation.
Yeah.
Because when you look at it, when you go back to as far as the diaspora, the African, like you look at the ones that, like we came over, we created our own culture.
Yes.
And the culture drives everything now.
It drives everything,
hey,
man.
Bring Jay-Z in. Bring this person. Play this person music before the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Wear your jersey this way. That's what they doing.
Yeah. Because, what is it? Puma will have these... you know, these basketball tournaments or what have you, right? Who's going to be in that audience, right? That's going to sell tickets. That's going to attract people. I want to go to that Jay-Z basketball tournament, be it AAU or what have you.
Sponsored by Puma.
Yeah, sponsored by Puma over at the Barclays Center.
Wow.
Okay. So I see a lot happening with this Puma brand, man. I might have to go take a look at their stock price and see where it's at. And maybe have to buy me some Puma stock.
I'm going
to still keep my Nike, though.
Yeah, me too. I think $54, I think it is.
Yeah, you know, the highest priced stock for sporting goods is Adidas. I was shocked about that. But Adidas has a worldwide presence.
Yeah, worldwide market. So you got.
They're all in Africa.
Three stripes go back to like, and see, it's three stripes kill it with soccer.
Yeah.
They kill the game.
Yeah. They own that market.
They own
which
soccer.
Which is the largest market of sports in the world.
The shell toe, still banging.
Oh, right.
You know the shell toe Adidas? The shell toe Adidas with the, look like a seashell on the toe.
Oh, okay.
The old ones like Ron DMC used to wear.
Right.
Them and the jogging suit still boom. With the joggers, and when they brought those jogger pants out, the young kids wear that fit a little tight.
Uh-huh.
Adidas started that first. It was soccer pants.
Wow.
So they got them in bundles. So Adidas always going to dominate globally, but when it comes to certain sports, you know, Nike oversees them, but they don't. When it comes to Adidas is a worldwide market. Yeah. Them three stripes is really the whole world.
Yeah, they holding down that soccer world market. Yep. So there's this World Cup going on. I imagine if you polled all the teams, I would say 90% of those teams are dressed in Adidas gear.
Yep. So Adidas, they're still relevant. They're still doing their thing. And it's just, it's amazing to see that. So it's coming.
Well, that's a very interesting story. So keep our eyes open.
Yep, exactly. Today we're getting into, we got our show today. We got, so look, still staying on sports. The IRS is get ready to open the door on betting on sports. Now, that's been going on in Vegas. When we used to go down to Vegas, we used to be able to bet or call a bookie, and he'll be able to put your bid in. But listen to this. It says, prepare to pay taxes on winnings. Depending on where you live, betting on your favorite teams may no longer require an account with a bookie or a plane ticket to Las Vegas. But in your zeal to play the odds, don't forget that gambling winnings are subject to federal taxes.
Yes, they are.
Okay? Your state may want a piece of the action, too. In May, the Supreme Court struck down a 1992 federal law that largely prohibited sports betting outside of Las Vegas casinos. New Jersey, the state that brought the suit that challenged the law, and Delaware aimed to have sports books up and running were mere weeks after the court's ruling. While 20 other states have enacted legislation to kickstart the process. Legal or not, the IRS expects to report any winnings as other income. The new tax law preserves the rule that allows itemizers to deduct gambling losses to the extent that they offset winnings. But because the law doubled the standard deduction, itemizing makes sense for fewer taxpayers.
Okay.
So once up and running, states with regulated sports gambling will offer bettors guaranteed payouts, stable odds, peace of mind, which can be harder to come by when gambling through underground venues.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a way to specialize in the gambling. Like you said, you can go into the store where you get your little hot Cheetos for your kids and say, hey, give me 15 on the Pistons.
Right. Yep. Here's my ticket. That's right.
So here go your betting slip, and here it is back. So another way for the government to generate winnings, to generate income.
Revenue.
and revenue, and then you can offset your losses. Because I know people that buy lottery tickets, like my barber and them, they buy $100 a day, it looked like.
Okay.
So I already know that when they win, they got all the slips. They're like, how y'all keep all them bets? We got to claim on my taxes.
Right.
Because I win sometimes.
Right. If you're going to take my winnings and tax me, then you got to take my losses and give me, you know, a benefit for that too. So yep. It's only fair. But, you know, years ago, this is no different than the numbers game. All right? The numbers game was totally underground. And we all know about some of the number runners, all right? The number runners in this town or in the larger cities.
That's right.
You know, even Don King. Don King made his money as a numbers runner when he was in Cleveland. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And the states looked at this mass amount of money these guys was getting and said, oh, no, we got to get a piece of this. So they legalized the numbers game, right? Every state has it now, has a numbers lottery. Now we look at marijuana, and it is starting to take the same path because these states are looking at it as ways to raise money and revenue in order to continue to run the states.
I'm going to say something. I'm scared about the miracle marijuana. I am, because the other day I was in an accident, and then the person that hit me, they're not that type of person. But I just think, like, I was backsided, so I was hit from the back. So just imagine with the medical marijuana.
Well, you know, what you look at it this way, Coach. It has, in my opinion, it's going to have the same effect as we do with booze.
Okay, well, all right.
Booze was prohibited at one time.
Okay.
All right, we had prohibition.
Yes, sir.
And then it became legal, and we still have all the number of drunk driving fatalities every year.
It don't matter.
And there's no movement or legislation to say we don't need this. All right? Right, wrong, or indifferent.
You're right, sir.
And marijuana, the medical marijuana, as well as recreational marijuana, which is going to be on the ballot in Michigan this year, it's taking the same path. So all these, if you want to call them sin type of habits, are still being governed by the state. I mean, cigarettes, no different. Cigarettes, people, you know, they tell you all the time what harm it does, but yet you go into the store, they offer sale.
They offer sale. They $7 a box.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, a little box.
Man, somebody told me in New York it's like $18 a pack. Can you believe that?
Man, I can't believe that at all.
Yeah, so there's a black market in New York for cigarettes. People drive down from New York and go to South Carolina, some of those other, you know, those tobacco states, right, where they grow tobacco. And they bring cartons of it back, boxes of it, rather, and they sell them on the black market in New York and making a living, man.
They make the knockoff boxes. I've seen knockoff boxes.
Okay, so this thing is taking the same path because the general public wants it. You always have those folks that say, no, this is wrong. This is not the lifestyle we should be living. And they don't partake in it. But there's another percentage of the population that do, and the government said, that's okay. We're going to tax you.
Wow. That's just
sad but true.
Man, we're going to tax you. And then speaking of that, let's get into our next portion of talking about the average debt. How much debt the average American has now at every age?
Which is at an all-time high.
All-time high. And we got two maps here. We got one that says among the entire U.S. population, figures here are average in all households, whether they carry debt or not. And then the one on the bottom says, when you restrict the pool to debtors, you see much higher average amounts owned. So everybody don't carry debt.
Right. Well, when you look at the chart, there's an age bracket.
Yes, right.
Okay. So, and it talks, well, that's when you carry most of your debt. And that age bracket is what?
35 to 44.
Okay. And then it stretches over to 54. All right. That's when it starts to taper down.
But then we're in a, that's, it's a shift though. Look, it says, so look at the one on the bottom. So it says, the among borrowers only, when you restrict pool to debtors only, right?
Right.
Look at 75 more. Now let's just see. It says other, huge. Look at the debts.
Yeah.
So mortgage. So you got mortgage, $100,000, almost $200,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's declining. And then you got debt on non-primary residence. So
that's those like second homes.
Second
homes,
vacation homes.
Yep.
Rental properties that you finance probably.
Yep.
Mortgaging. Then it goes on and says credit. It says credit cards, not that much. But then education loans is stacking on top.
You and got then people in their 50s still paying off education loans. How about that?
I'll be done in 5 more years. I'm like, I'm not gonna be in no 50s paying off no student loan.
Yeah. I got 65
five,
even.
I got 5 more years left.
I would imagine those are probably some loans that they co-sign for their kids. I would imagine.
Parent Plus or something. We got a segment we're gonna be sharing with that on the next show. But that's just looking at like, man, it's some serious business out there to try to get ahead in this world. And look at the debt, like you said, the primary age of when you start really carrying debt, because your 20s, you're figuring it out. You got your job at the college. If you go to college, like the conventional student, even though the conventional student is changing, you go to college 17, 21, which is hard to go at that age. I did at that age. That's hard for me to do it. I should have probably waited. But in my 20s, I figured everything out. So then, like, you know, 30s, you're like, okay, I'm going to buy this retirement plan. These things going to happen. I'm going to do this. If you're going to have kids, I'm going to get married. All these things going to come into play. So then you fall into the mortgage debt. That's when you get all these debts.
Yes. Auto debts, mortgage debts. You still got your student loan debt.
That's right. Or you could think in reverse and say, hey, I'm not going to acquire these debts. I'm going to try to figure out how to double up on these student loan payments and knock them out and see if I qualify for a program a lot quicker, so you don't have to have those debts in your latter years like you were talking about in your 50s. But looking here, the highest, it says 45 to 54, the highest amount of debt is $600,000. And you probably like, man, I don't know nobody like that. I do. I've had clients in the past that carry a mortgage of $350,000, married couple, right?
Okay.
Student loans, $100,000 piece.
All right. Throw your autos in there.
Oh, throw the autos. We talking about Audis and Mercedes.
Okay.
Right? Then they probably have a second car, you know, a second van or truck, because they got it like that.
And you got a credit card.
They got the credit card. The credit card is a platinum, and they got $10,000,
$15,000 on that. You had
$600,000, baby. Yeah. So you had $600,000. So they're not alone. Clothes and vacations that they got to go on.
All righty.
Because you got to keep your fronts up like you got it.
Right.
But you actually, now look, what you actually do in America is, when they say average debt, you are actually making a payment to live your everyday life.
Yeah. Your everyday life revolves around your credit payment.
Man, that's got to be tough. That's got
to
be hard.
Every day to make my credit payment.
So you can't afford to get sick?
You can't.
Man.
Because those bills come every month.
They come every month.
Every month.
Every month. Every month. And then the largest debt is the mortgage one.
Yes, the mortgage is but the student loans are not far behind.
No, they're not.
No, student loans and mortgage debts are right there together, man.
It's a large number.
Yep.
In the thick.
And that, you know, that's kind of like we were talking earlier about, if you have kids and they have aspirations to go to college, there's some work that you have to do prior to that. Just like the lady said, that the Seton Hall.
Yes, sir.
Gives every state one full ride scholarship.
Who know that? We just found out.
Audience. And her son just happened to be in Michigan and wanted to go to Seton Hall. But in the entire state of Michigan, there was not no other person that had applied to go to Seton Hall. So he gets the full ride.
Man, that's called a blessing.
That's like you got to go out there and do some work to find out where these gyms are. So if your child wants to go to school, I mean, Seton Hall is not that far away, right? It's over in New York, Jersey area.
That's right.
But if they're going for free, it's better than having them stay at Grand Valley and you amass $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 in student debt.
Man, do you know how I'm jumping as they tell me a Division I?
Okay.
Tell me that I can go for free out of state?
Yes.
Because out of state tuition, Tony, is double.
Right.
So you look at a school like Michigan State, they're charging, when I went, they're charging, $10,000 a year to tuition, right? Now they're charging probably like $30,000 a year,
yep.
$27,000. So when I went, it was $10,000 a year. You graduate with a debt of $40,000, $45,000. You grab a couple loans, you do it about $60,000, okay? So you're looking at that number. Now you graduating with $120,000 debt. Now, today, these kids are, they double the amount I'm graduating with.
That's right.
So when you see that figure, you like, hold up. And then this person wanted to go to Seton Hall. That was their dream the whole time. And they put a letter in, and they already had some scholarship money because it seemed like he had a smart son already.
Right.
So when they say, oh, you qualify, we got, and you know how them letters come in the mail, you qualify for a full ride. What you mean? I got a scholarship. I know I was going to have $30,000 towards the tuition. No, you keep that $30,000, sir,
use
that you got.
Somewhere else, yeah.
You can go and buy you a car or go have fun with that 30 G's a year you got.
Now
you, got
you
a
can
free
go
education.
To school with no stress.
Ooh-wee. Study abroad.
Yeah.
Internships, mission trips you want to do for your church. You want to start a nonprofit because you got the money.
And I'm pretty sure once you get into the system, they're going to be pointing you to other potential scholarships that will allow you to do those kinds of things. So
yep.
Just don't look at that, at what the cost is as your first take. Look yep. at where some of these schools that offer these scholarships, you know, of course the GPA's got to be right, but still, you know, get that education for free if possible.
Yeah, it says we're seeing people carrying much more debt than in previous generations into retirement. So that example you gave today, I just want to go right into the scripture after that, because that was the gem that was dropped today. And it's coming from trusting God with the least good for nothing. Because you just turn a letter in and say, I want to go to Seton Hall. That's good for nothing. Like, yeah, I would like to apply to Seton Hall. I'm from Michigan. You get a letter back, say your education is paid for. You're the only person from the state of Michigan that applied.
Right.
So I got this scripture for today. It say Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Because that lady got to be throwing some tithes or believing some way.
She's Catholic. She does. She is.
Prepare her son. Yeah. Academically, to be eligible to go to Seton Hall, and I know he had some monies.
Oh yeah.
But when they say the whole bill, that's got to be a glorious guy right there, Tony.
Tell me about it,
man. I'm Chauncey Williams,
and I'm Tony Williams.
This is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.